Greetings and welcome to Shnayim Mikra, the podcast series sponsored by the Orthodox Union, hosted right here at OU.org. In each of this week's podcasts, we look at one of the aliyot of this week's parasha. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom, and I'm honored to be back with you to be studying Parashat Chukat, which is a delightful parasha filled with interesting halachot, travelogue, tragedy. And we will begin, of course, with the very famous beginning of Zot Chukat HaTorah, the law of the Parah Adumah. Vadaber Adonai Moshe v'el Aharon Lemor. Important to note, when the normal introduction, Vadaber Adonai Moshe Lemor, appears, and when Aharon's name is invoked, and almost invariably Aharon's name will be added to that of Moshe when it is something that has to do with the Mishkan, or Tumah V'Tahara. Indeed, when we take a look back at Parshat Shmini, and we see that Aharon is mentioned in the introduction to, in Perek Yud Aleph, to the laws of the various animals that we may eat, we realize that in Parshat Shmini, the inclusion or exclusion of certain animals and rodents, etc., is mainly an issue of Tumat Nevela, as opposed to Machalot Asurot. In any case, Aharon's involvement here is very obvious, not only as his son, will be the officiant in the Parah Adumah, but more significantly, that this is the process whereby someone becomes Tahor so that they may enter the precincts of the Mikdash and not incur the punishment of Karet. Zot Chukat HaTorah. Now, what is a chok? The word chok really comes from the word lechokek, which means to engrave, because laws are typically engraved. An engraved law, as opposed to a dynamic law, which we would call a mishpat, which fluctuates in the sense that it's a response to particular conditions, is a what we might call a hardwired law, something that is really immovable. Zot chukat haTorah shetziva Adonai lemor. Here we go. Daber el bnei Yisrael v'ikhu elacha. So bnei Yisrael have to provide to you fara adumah, a red cow, timima. So far, the fact that it is a particular kind of animal and that it is tmima without a blemish implies that it's going to be some sort of a korban. Asher ein ba mum. So it has no mum. Asher lo ala aleha ol. And it has never carried a yoke, meaning it's never worked. Unetatem ota el Elazar HaKohen. You, Bnei Yisrael, remember Moshe and Aaron are going to tell this to Bnei Yisrael, you will give it to Elazar HaKohen, which means the skan, not the Kohen Gadol, but his assistant. He's going to take it out of the camp. So this now is a reversal of what we'd expect, as opposed to taking it to the middle of the camp, to the Mishkan. He's going to take it out of the camp, and he shall slaughter it there in front of him. So the first thing, he's going to take some of its blood, and again, it sounds like a korban. And he's going to face in the direction of the Olmoed. Remember, he's out of the camp. So whatever direction he goes, he's going to face towards Olmoed, and he's going to spritz seven times. And he will burn it in front of him. So there's a third person here, well, a second person at least, who's going to be burning the cow in the presence of Elazar. Et orav et besarav et dama. So here's where it deviates, besides location, severely from a korban. With every korban, we flay and fillet. We do a hefshet v'nituach. Here, the animal's being burned whole with its skin on and its flesh on and its blood in. Al pirsha yisrof. When we don't take out the dung either, it's all burned there. And then, v'lakach ha-kohen ha-etzer, is he should take a piece of cedar wood, ve'ezov, and some hyssop, ushni tolat, and a piece of red thread, you should throw it into the fire. Now, what are you going to have at the end of it? You're going to have ashes from this big fire, along with these ingredients that are in there, which will also become ash. Then the Kohen has to be matir his clothes, which means involvement in this is going to be matamehim. So the Kohen, whoever is the one who does the burning, doesn't mention Elazar here, does the burning, will then have to clean his clothes and himself wash, meaning he has to go to the mikvah, and then he can come into the camp. And he is Tameh Tumat Erev, which means till the evening, but he can come back to the end of the camp. There's no reason he can't. and the one who burns it, Rechat Psar Malayim, has to do the same, V'tameyar Aret. Now, V'asaf Ish Tahor, we're going to go back to this pasuk after we finish the readings. V'asaf Ish Tahor, a pure man, we'll see what this means, that Ephra Parah will collect the ashes. So we now have two fellows who've come back into the camp. We have Elazar outside, and now another fellow comes out and collects the ashes. Pinyach michutz l'machaneh makom tori, leaves it in a pure place outside of the camp. Vaitala de adav b'nei Yisrael l'mishmer, b'nei Yisrael are going to watch this. L'mei nida, for waters of separation. Chatati, and the animal is called a chatat, even though it's not being brought as a korban. V'chibes ha'osef et efer ha'parah, and now the fellow collected the ashes. He also has to wash et begadav, his garments, v'tamei ad ha'arev, and also be impure till evening. And that seems to end, and those ten psukim seem to run together, because it starts with Zotach Chukat Torah and ends with the Vayital, Livnei Yisrael, Vayagar Gar B'tocham, the Chukat Olam. Just an important note about the laws in Sefer Bamidbar, specifically from the middle of Parshat Shlach Lecha up and through the end, is there's a constant reminder that B'nai Yisrael and Hager Hagar B'tocham all have the same law. They're all included together. It's a prominent feature in the mitzvot in Shlach Lecha, and it comes again here. And now, all of this is to prepare ashes. What were we preparing the ashes for? So here's the second part. Hanogam b'meit l'chol nefesh adam. If anybody comes in contact, means touches a dead person. V'tameh shivat yamim. He's tameh for 7 days. Now this is a separate story. So we have the first 10 psukim are how to prepare the ashes of this para. And there's a mention of water, may nida, so there's going to be some sort of mixture. Hanogam b'meit l'chol nefesh adam tameh shivat yamim. If anybody touches a dead person, they're tameh for 7 days. Hu yitchatavo, he, meaning the guy who became tameh, will become expiated through it. What's it? The ashes. Bayom ha-shlishi uvayom ha-shvi'i yitar. On the third day, and on the seventh day, and then yitar. And that's what mikra shi'ish eino achrea. That's a text, a pasuk that could be read different ways. You do it on the third day, and on the seventh day you become Torah. The way we read it is, on the third and seventh day, you're going to have expiation via these ashes, and then yitar. And if he does not do it on the third and seventh day, lo yitar. This is one of the famous examples in the Sugyan Kiddushin of Tanai B'nei Gad of Nei Ruvain, that the Torah has to mention both the positive and the inverse. Now, kol hanogea b'meit b'nefesh adam ha-shayemut. Anybody who touches a dead body, anybody who dies, v'lo yitchata, and does not get expiated, at Mishkan Adonai Timei, he has defiled the Mishkan of Hashem. The assumption here, of course, is that he then goes into the Mishkan or into the precincts of the Mishkan without having been purified. Otherwise, it's not defiled anything. V'nechvata nefesh ayim Yisrael, and there is the punishment of Karet for Bia B'Mikdash. Ki mei nida lo zorak alav, he did not get these waters thrown on him. Tamei Yehiyah, he maintains his Tumah, od Tumato vo. The Tumah is still in him. In other words, we don't say that after 7 days, Tumah flies away, or 14 days, or 3 years, or anything. Without doing this process, Tumah does not go. Zot HaTorah, here's the rule. Adam ki amut po'ohel. This is now a new rule. There's a very famous homily on this passage, which is, how does Torah exist? If a person dies in the tent, meaning the tent representing the Beit Midrash, the tents of Torah, Torah will only work with somebody who kills himself for Torah, meaning he just devotes himself so totally that he goes without eating on a comfortable level and sleeping on a comfortable level, just subsistence and learning. Kol abaya, but pshat is, this is the rule, if a person dies in a tent, kol abaya la oil v'chol asher ba'oil d'ma shivat tamim. Anybody who comes into the tent, anything that's in the tent, is tamesa for 7 days. This is a new halacha that only applies to tamei meit, and that is that if you are under the same roof as a dead body, you become tamei for 7 days, even though you didn't touch it. V'chol kli fatuach, if you have a vessel there, that is an open vessel, asher ein samid patil alav, and does not have a tightened cover on it, tamehu. If it's in the house, it's tamei, implying that if it does have a tight cover on it, and this applies specifically to kli cheres, to ceramic, then it's not tamei. V'chol asher yiga al pnei hasadeh, B'chalal cherev ovameit. Now let's go out of the tent. Let's say you're out on the battlefield and you touch a chalal cherev, meaning somebody was killed by the sword, but the drasha is cherev areiku chalal, meaning the sword itself. If you touch the sword, you're tamemeit. Ovameit, ova etzem adam, or you touch a bone of a dead person, ova kever, you touch a grave. Itmah shiva tamim, tumat shiva. V'lakchula tamei, so then what do we do for this tamei? Me'afar sefat achatat. Now we're going to find out where the water comes in. You're going to take from the ashes, afar here really means afer. We're reading it as afar as dirt. But the ashes of the burnt offering, not really an offering again, but expiation piece. We're going to put mayim chayim, which means it has to come from a spring, and it goes into a vessel. That's the end of the first aliyah. We'll pick it up in the next podcast with the rest of this and then the beginning of Perek Chaf. But as I promised, I want to go back to Pasuk Tet Vasaf Ish Tahor. This phrase was the source of one of the big disputes at the end of Bayit Sheni times between the rabbis and the Tzadokites, the Tzadokim, because the Tzadokim said that Ish Tahor means that the Kohen who collects the Efer has to be fully pure, and therefore they would make sure that whatever Kohen would go out would be Tahor. Chachamim's position was that from the fact that it calls him Ish Tahor, that means he could even be a Tvul Yom. Meaning, a Tvul Yom is somebody who is on his last day of impurity, usually the one day impurity, or the seventh day of a 7 day impurity, and he goes to the mikveh during the day, as is the law. From that point to the end of the day, he's called a Tvul Yom. If you take a look at the Mishnayot in Sota, and of course in Tvul Yom, you'll see that Tvul Yom is recognized from the Torah to be a distinct category of lighter tumah. And therefore the rabbi said the Ish Tahor ear could even be a Tvul Yom. But in order to demonstrate their opposition against and their victory over the Tzadokim, they would go out of their way to have the Kohen who was going to be involved in collecting the Efer, on that day, they'd have him touch a dead rodent, so it'd become Tamei Tumat Erev, and then they would have him go to the mikvah, and then participate in this to make the point that somebody who has already gone to the mikvah, even though the sun is not set and he has not become tahor, pure, may still participate. One of the several examples of where the rabbis, if you will, bent over backwards as a polemic against the Tzadokim in order to make their point about religious rectitude and about proper transmission of the tradition. We will pick it up with Pasuk Yod Zayin, Pasuk Yod Chet, verse 18 in the next podcast with the second Aliyah. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.